This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're about 17 minutes away from Governor Pritzker's State of the State address and budget proposal to the Illinois General Assembly. Although it's not going to be before the Illinois General Assembly, owing to the snowstorm that is blanketing central Illinois today, he's going to instead be giving a web broadcast speech, a virtual speech, at the old state capitol building in downtown Springfield. We'll have live coverage of that on most NPR stations where you're hearing our show now. Joining me to talk more about what we can expect and to put the governor's remarks in context, I'm joined now by Hannah Meisel, Statehouse editor at our partner station, NPR Illinois, WUIS in Springfield. Hannah, thanks as always for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
We're also joined by Amanda Cass. She's part of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois System and Associate Director of the Government Finance Research Center at U of I Chicago. Amanda, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Hannah, we just spent the previous part of the show hearing from House Speaker Chris Welch and Senate Republican Leader Dan McConkie. From what you've learned so far, is going to be the overarching message we're expecting from Governor Pritzker this morning or this afternoon?
Well, you know, the governor has already been up on TV for a couple weeks now, touting, you know, how he fixed the state's finances. Obviously, that's not a job that he did alone. And, you know, to say that he fixed the state's finances, that's awfully subjective. But, you know, we are in a better, you know, against all odds, against, you know, the odds of a pandemic and, you know, his vision for graduated income tax, which he said he needed to fix the state's finances, you know, that didn't pass in November of 2020. But against all odds, we are in a better fiscal position than we have been in years. And I think, you know, as he heads into full-blown reelection mode, that's the message that he wants to give to voters. At the same time, though, you know, just because the state's finances are better than they have, that doesn't, you know, necessarily reflect everyone's reality, everyone's pocketbook. And so he's proposing a little less than $1 billion in relief for, you know, suspending that grocery tax, suspending the proposed, you know, the automatic gas tax increase, and, you know, a property tax rebate. We will see, you know, where those go, but that's also, you know, kind of an olive branch to folks who, you know, haven't felt relief, who, you know, have had a very, very difficult time in the pandemic, and maybe even, you know, just regular families who have been feeling the pinch of inflation.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that lands with lawmakers. I asked Senate President Don Harmon, as we heard earlier in the show, played a clip of that. And he, before he knew that those were actually going to be in Governor Pritzker's proposal, he said, you know, we don't want to do something that's flashy showbiz, but doesn't provide real relief to people. I mean, we're talking about here $1 off a $100 grocery bill, 2 cents per gallon of gas, I think it would be. Amanda Cass, let me bring you into the conversation. Now, you've been following Illinois' finances for quite a while now. How have Illinois' finances been in the past year during the pandemic? And what are some of the opportunities and pitfalls in the years ahead?
Sure. So I think to understand kind of where Illinois' finances were with the pandemic, we have to go kind of further back to pre-pandemic and the kind of rounder budget years with the budget impasse and the buildup of debt. So pre-pandemic, Illinois' finances were really shaky. Governor Pritzker came into office, started kind of righting the fiscal ship, and then we had the pandemic. And when the pandemic first occurred, we saw really significant shortfalls in revenue. And there was a lot of fear and concern that there's going to be substantial revenue loss tied to the pandemic, tied to the kind of economic effects of the pandemic, simultaneous with a lot of kind of social service and spending needs. What we're seeing now is kind of a better picture with the revenue. So revenue performance has been better than kind of initially feared and that the early estimates had. So that's kind of enhanced the state's fiscal position. And then we've also had at the federal level, two really big programs that have provided somewhat unrestricted federal aid to the state government. First, money from the CARES Act, and now substantial over $8 billion from the American Rescue Plan Act.
And Hannah, you mentioned some of these tax reductions that he's proposing. These would just be temporary, right? We want to emphasize that point. That's one of the objections we heard from Senate Republican Leader McConkie, who says, you know, he generally likes the idea of cutting taxes, but not just for a year.
Right. Yeah, I was listening to your conversation with the leader. And, you know, I understand his point that, you know, this would be temporary. And so, you know, obviously Republicans, it's kind of an easy label for them to say, well, this is gimmicky. But, you know, one of the problems in Illinois that has been, you know, long predates the pandemic is that we have a relatively narrow, you know, base of tax collections. For years, economists have wanted to, you know, they say it would be more fair writ large to increase, you know, maybe the service tax, because in Illinois, we don't really tax services. You know, we have a sales tax and we have obviously the flat income tax and tax on, you know, corporate income too. But, you know, by and large, we don't have, you know, a whole lot of, you know, revenue, diversified revenue coming in. Now, of course, there's an argument against that, you know, service tax because, you know, folks would say, oh, it is, you know, kind of predatory. It is, it's not fair to those who, you know, earn less and, you know, they're paying the same for services. But yeah, I mean, I think it'll be interesting if this does go through and, you know, there are big objections, you know, even from folks who would be, you know, you would say, oh, they're on the governor's team for the most part, you know, a big influential labor union, IUOW, Local 150, you know, they are not on board with suspending the automatic increase of the gas tax. You know, that's jobs for their members. But, you know, we will see if it goes through and, you know, if it's temporary, obviously people get used to that. And then it's a whole new kind of political Pandora's box that you would have to contend with when you try to end that. I mean, we saw that with, you know, if several years ago when the 2011 temporary income tax expired, you know, after Pat Quinn lost to Bruce Browner in 2015, you know, Democrats just let that expire. And then that, you know, was one of the major contributing factors to the budget impasse too, is that we had a lot less revenue coming in. And it's just, it's hard to end things once people get used to them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I remember that. And drafted so that the extra money actually ended midway through a budget year. What a weird circumstance that was. I think people think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there was just sort of maybe an oversight there. I don't know. Amanda, let's take a broader perspective here. I mean, the Democrats spent the better part of a decade arguing for a graduated income tax. They finally passed the you know, the measure required to put that on the ballot. Voters had to approve it or reject it, and the voters rejected it in Illinois. And yet, here we are, a year, just a little more than a year after that, and Illinois has so much money. The governor's talking about putting the better part of $1 billion into the rainy day fund, $879 million over this year and next year into the budget stabilization fund, and overpaying the pension payments, and talking about refunding or you know, decreasing, pausing certain taxes. What do you make of that dichotomy of where Illinois' revenue situation was just a couple of years ago?
Yeah, so I think a couple of things to think about. So one, I would say the context that we should be thinking about for the current moment is that revenue has performed better than expected, but those expectations were done using really conservative estimates. Some were done at the kind of early onset of the pandemic. So I'm cautious to say things look good now, but that doesn't mean that we're kind of completely out of the woods or that the state of Illinois' fiscal ship has been kind of totally turned around. And so I think what you're seeing with what Governor Pritzker is proposing with how to use this kind of surplus or money in the general fund that there's some discretion over how to spend it. It is spending on one-time items that can help bolster the state's overall finances, right? So contributing additional money to the pension systems, that's really about paying down debt that's owed to the pension systems. And by paying it kind of more money up now, you're creating long-term savings. You could think of it as, you know, your mortgage or your kind of car loan. If you're paying down that loan early, which generates long-term savings, very prudent to do. Similarly, kind of building up the rainy day fund is about, you know, creating a cushion if there is another kind of crisis like COVID or another economic downturn. So I think these are kind of really prudent measures. It doesn't it doesn't kind of negate the longer term challenges with Illinois's overall financial structure of having a flat income tax, having kind of being on the pension ramp and having the future increases in pension payments, challenges like meeting the evidence-based formula for K through 12 funding. So those kind of longer term fiscal challenges remain, even though right now the fiscal picture is pretty rosy.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're just about 5 minutes away from Governor J.B. Pritzker's State of the State and budget address. He'll be presenting that from the old state capitol this year, not in the current state capitol in front of a joint session of the General Assembly owing to the snowstorm that was canceled so lawmakers would not be stranded in Springfield. We will have live coverage of that shortly. Hannah, this is a, as we noted earlier, this is a re-election year for the governor, so I'm sure he's going to be working to present a rosy picture. There are still dangers, though, right? I think we were on a briefing this morning where we heard an administration official note that we're in the fifth wave of the COVID-19 pandemic and perhaps not out of the woods yet there, right? I mean, the governor has some headwinds this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, we should definitely not downplay the effect that the pandemic still has. Sure, we got all of this federal money, you know, had it not been for COVID, we wouldn't have gotten that infusion and, you know, probably wouldn't be having this same conversation about, you know, how that federal money is stabilizing Illinois' budget. But yeah, I mean, we don't know what's coming next with the pandemic. Obviously, we all want it to be over. We hope that Omicron is, you know, the last variant that causes, you know, so much disruption to everyone's lives. You know, but we don't know what's going to happen. That's not the only, you know, headwind that he faces because, you know, it's far more than the budget. And honestly, I don't know, how much the average voter, you know, is paying attention to, you know, the state's budget.
Obviously, they're not. They're definitely not. But they should, right?
But
we're talking
about
the cost of college and public safety. Yeah.
The governor faces a lot of other headwinds. You know, crime. Republicans have coalesced around, you know, their messaging on, you know, Democrats like Governor Pritzker, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, you know, other figures in the Democratic Party have, you know, supposedly worsened crime because of their policies. I mean, listen, crime. Obviously, we are seeing a spike. Across Illinois, across the country, major cities are all dealing with this. But you know, that's also just not a 1 year fix. It's it was building for a while. The pressures, you know, of the pandemic exacerbated that. You know, the governor faces other headwinds. You know, he's not had a perfect administration. Obviously, no one does. But you know, he's seen a lot of negative headlines in his time. You know, the child welfare agency, DCFS, you know, sure. There's just ongoing struggles there, ongoing struggles in prison system. You know, there's a lot to overcome. You know, obviously the veterans home, you know, the scandal there where 36 veterans died and, you know, the state did not adequately respond. There's a lot of things that he has to answer for. Some, you know, can be at least helped budgetarily, but others, you know, it takes a long time. Government is a major, you know, ocean liner. It can't just turn on a dime.
Slow moving ship. All right. Good metaphor. All right. We're going to, for most of the stations that carry the 21st, this is just going to be a break, but we are going to end the 21st show. We'll be back at noon again on most NPR stations where we're carried with the governor's live address. Hannah Meisel is State House editor with NPR Illinois. Amanda Cass is associate director of the Government Finance Research Center at the University of Illinois Chicago. Thank you both for being with me on the 21st. For the stations that are staying with us, they will be on again for the governor's budget presentation, which is coming up in just a couple of minutes. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll be back with most of you in just a few minutes. For the rest of you, we'll talk to you tomorrow.